Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book in a bed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev. We are your hosts. We've got Bryony, Ellie, and, well, slap my ass and call me Georgia Winchester because we're fucking demons tonight.
Fucking demons tonight.
We are deep diving into monster romance territory again by covering The Demon's Bargain by Katie Robert. Now, our lovable demon friend in this book is a non-binary hoe. And we love that for them. And we are so excited to be including this book in one of our Pride Month coverages. It just keeps going, you know. I just start putting words out there and then none of it makes sense. We're covering it for Pride Month, all right? That's it. What are we drinking?
Well, I am drinking, do you remember those little cans of Jack Daniels that we got?
Oh no. Dear, the 10%.
Basically, I'm having a 10% Jack Daniels mix just because of reasons. I couldn't think of anything else, and honestly, I was just so distracted by how horny this book is. Get it? Because there's a demon with horns. That, yeah, I just stuck with my usual, but made a little bit more spicy.
Nice. Oh, I've got Red Bull tonight because it gives you wings, and I need to fly the fuck away from this book. So.
Well, I'm drinking, let me tell you the name. The name of it is called The Pegging. Now, this drink is just Pepsi and vodka, but the vodka is the cheap $18 vodka that you get from the down the road servo. It is not good. I'm just calling it The Pegging for that reason because it's probably gonna fuck me. Yeah. And the thoughts, guys, the thoughts.
I fucking love this book. And I mean, me and Ellie, we went to this bookstore in Murray Bridge called Friction and Fiction, or is it Fiction and Friction? I don't know. They're close. The words are the same. Either way, and I went, you know what? I'm going to buy some Katie Robert monster romance novellas. So I got The Demon's Bargain, The Dragon's Bride, and The Kraken Sacrifice. And I was like, this is amazing. I first read this book on Alive, and it was so good that it lives next to my bed now. It's like a sexy witch with a dress with thigh splits and over the knee boots. Like, this is too much.
It's a wet dream. It's a wet dream.
It's a wet dream. And then there's also just, you know, like a demon who is literally like, oh my God, I've looked at you and I'm in love. Let me behead your enemies. I can't fight with that. It's just, I don't make the rules. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And even though I can feel the hesitation and or condemnation from Ellie, I'm actually for once very excited to just vibe with possibly how uncomfortable Ellie's gotten.
Oh my God. This book is something, really. My main concern, they have no eyes. No eyes, none. And you know, I can deal with horns, even the red skin, but no eyes.
They had horns coming out of where their eyes were, and that's what George is drawing. Yeah, it's not good. And also, the glorious cover art that are on this series' novellas, which is like very Mills and Booney-ish, very romanticized painted covers. He's got a bandana.
Oh,
there's no secondary set of horns. So there was no warning about the second pair of horns.
No, no, the eyes, I do not like it. Also, I've said before, I don't enjoy insta-love storylines. It's a short book, so, I mean, there's no choice but to have the relationship moving at the speed of light. But it gives me the ick. I do not like it. I wasn't the greatest fan of this book, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for monster romance. Anywho, a smart scene is a smart scene, so no complaints other than the lack of eyes.
Yeah. Look, that's fair. Well, oh, I fucking love demons. As I said, my Winchester era is still in full force, you know? So I've dreamt of demons. And now I dream of more demons. I love Katie Robert. I started off with The Dragon's Bride and I have now finished The Demon's Bargain, and both of them are short, sharp, to the point, smutty monster romance. I feel like if you read monster romance, you're going to read Katie Robert. And this book is so good because not only does it have representation for non-binary folk, but also it's got fucking demons and witches. And like they fucking decapitate the bad guy and just like grab the amulet and just like, here you go. This is my declaration of love. You know, you can't say no to that.
On that note, let's dive in.
Usually we give you like a summary of the people, but there's one person and a demon. That's all you really need to know. So the book starts with our FMC, Lenora, summoning a demon to help her retrieve her family's super duper special amulet and kill her ex-boyfriend, whose name is Christoph. Immediately, I am picturing a tall, blonde-haired ice harvester with a pet reindeer named Sven.
Absolutely. Now, there's no alternative.
No, that's the image in my head throughout the rest of this book. So yeah, he remains Christoph from Frozen, who occasionally breaks into song every now and then. Very carrying nice. On. Lenora is flipping through her family's grimoire, which goes into some detail about the demon she intends on summoning, Ramanu, who used to maybe fuck her great granny. Good, great. I love a little fucked up nonna, nana.
Keep it in the family.
To be fair, Ramanu didn't fuck the grandma, but the grandma was wanting to fuck Ramanu.
Look, potato, potato. It still could have happened. She probably saw their pain. That's enough for me. So apparently it's Samhain, which I thought was made up by Supernatural, but turns out it is a thing. An R girl likes to hit the markets with her girlfriends and entangle herself in foursomes, which we can't think too much about that because she needs to get to summoning ramen noodles, as they shall now be known. So without further ado, Ramen Noodles emerges from the salt circle with four horns, high cheekbones, a sensual mouth, and no eyes. But it's fine because Lenora thinks that they're so hot and she's going to look past it, unlike them, because they have no eyes.
Oh, shit.
Well, there's much banter and a bargain is struck for Ramen Noodles to assist Lenora in murdering our Norwegian friend Christoph and stealing her fancy necklace. They're like, yeah, cool plan. I'd like 7 years of your life, please. And our girl's like, no. But seriously, what the hell did she expect? Everyone knows a bargain with a demon is automatically 7 years. Gosh, Lenora, where have you been? Keep up.
Yeah, seriously.
There's some sexual tension when they simply step like around the salt circle that's meant to contain them, and they back her into a wall, which would be a hot moment if they had eyes.
That's right, I will hold space for the hot moment.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That's all the space you're getting. I'm moving on. Lenora is like, you know what? I like danger. You, demon, you sound like danger to me, much like my sweet Christoph. So bets on, motherfucker. Come join me on a quest.
A quest?
Motherfucker.
Like all good books, we swap POVs with our MCs, and this time we're with Ramen Noodles. They are considering the auras that they can see around Lenora, and clearly pretty colours are rather intoxicating because they are pretty well in love with the witchy poo in chapter 2. So good. Didn't mean to rhyme then, it just happened. It's fine. There's some reference to A Dragon's Bride, which I can only assume is another monster romance book, and no, I will not read it. If I cannot deal with no eyes, there is no way in hell I can read about a dragon from Shrek fucking Fiona in her human form. Not gonna happen.
But he has two dicks.
Two. He's got scales.
Well, he's like a humanoid dragon. Like, he's not like a giant fuck-off dragon. I mean, he is giant, but he's not like a dragon.
Is this like dad dog?
I would say top half more like dragon, bottom half more like man.
Yeah, and you're not selling it for me, but that's fine.
Two penises. One in the pink, two in the stink. Two in the pink, one in the stink.
You're not going to be putting two of them in the room. Back with Lenora, she's questioning why she can't fuck the demon. Girl, I need to remind you about your granny at this point in time, okay? It's a little bit incestuous. It's fine, okay?
Granny didn't fuck him, though. So it's not. She just wanted to.
She wanted to, and it's weird that her granddaughter is also exhibiting those vibes. It's weird.
It's in the family. It's like alcoholism.
Exactly. Incestuous.
It's like alcoholism.
It's just a trait that they inherit, you know, skips a generation. They want to fuck a demon.
Okay.
So they're off to the shadow market and Lenora is dressed in a sex shop's version of a witch's costume. It's fantastic.
Yes,
it Ramen is. Noodles.
I love how literally it's the one brain cell. I go, yes. Brandy goes, it is.
Ramen Noodles keeps trying to convince her to take their bargain, but she's a girl with a plan and doesn't need their help, which kind of defeats the purpose in summoning the bargaining demon, but who cares about the plot at this point in time?
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
They enter the shadow market via a haunted house where Lenora just deadpans all the human actors, and she's the type of gal that you want in that type of situation, unlike Briny. I feel like Briny's the type of gal you don't want.
No.
Bless your cotton socks. We won't change you. So Ramen Noodles is overwhelmed by everyone's auras at the shadow market, but notices how everyone fears Lenora, which is weird when you don't have eyes. Moving on. Lenora meets up with her ex, Jack, and Ramen Noodles has a relatable moment when they feel irrationally jealous.
Yes. Ellie's like, yeah, Ramen Noodles, I love you.
That's the one that I connect to. So they devise a plan of how to take out dear sweet Kristoff, and Jack warns Ramen Noodles to look out for their girl. But has everyone forgotten that this is a literal demon? But, you know, sure, expect morals and decency. No one here has clearly watched Supernatural, but that's fine. So Ramen Noodles offers up to Lenora a change in their bargain, 7 years of pleasure. She looks over the contract, it seems legit, but she's conflicted. She doesn't want to sign away 7 years in the demon territory, but she also does want to fuck them. So she counter proposes with a little try before you buy kind of deal. They agree to a 3-day fuckathon, which commences immediately.
Fantastic.
A fuckathon, yeah. There's a lot of ground rules which bore me, but I suppose they are necessary. And before they do the deed, Lenora checks in with Ramen Noodle's preferred terminology. So we like that. Well done.
Absolutely.
Then they go to Bone Town. And if I wasn't disturbed already about the lack of eyes, we now discover our lovable demon has clawed feet. No.
Yes.
I cannot stand even like the slightest sensation of Lockie's toenails
accidentally. Oh, no.
No. Look, but it's fine. We move on. To top it off, Ramen Noodles also has Nick Jonas nipples that are so dark that they're almost black. So that's cool.
Shout out to Nick Jonas.
So they lick her muffin while she hangs on to their horns like a drunk girl riding the bull at the bullshed down Hindley Street. Fantastic.
Whoa, muffins. Muffins and the woolshed in one sentence? I can't cope.
She then wants a taste of their demony cocky cock, and after magicking ribbons to string them up like a rotisserie chicken, she does just that.
So they are not opposed to being tied up in magical ribbons, especially when Lenora is stroking their thighs with magically reinforced and sharp nails. Again, oh my god, Lenora. Lenora sucks their dick like it's a bit of fettuccine, and Ramen Noodles is like, it should...
Fettuccine, damn.
Associate pasta with penises.
Ramen Noodles is like, it should not be possible, but here we are. Whilst Lenora is giving the Glug Glug 3000 of her life, she is scoring their thighs with her razor sharp nails, and they are so overcome with the intertwining pain pleasure cocktail, they don't want this to end with just a quick gobby. No. Ramen Noodles breaks their arms free, but not their legs, because they do quite enjoy the bondage, and pulls Lenora up to straddle them and says, ride me, little witch, I want to feel you come again.
That's hot.
That's a lot.
Lenora is a little bit lazy, but that's fine, because Ramen Noodles is nothing but a hustler and is more than happy to be Lenora's quote-unquote fuck toy. They then lift her up by the ass cheeks and position her with her feet, which are still in her high heel boots, on their shoulders, where she can also use their horns for grip. Anyways, it's just the logistics of that. I'm a little bit like, is she just kind of like...
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So Ramen Noodles is holding her entire weight, and they move her up and down on their dick, again, fuck toy, to such a degree that through the whole like emotion vision thing they have going on, she is lit up like a horny Christmas tree and they can see all of her. They both come, and Ramen Noodles comments that their seed coats their bloody thighs.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it being called their seed. That's uncomfortable.
And the cross-contamination of fluid here is concerning. I suppose you don't have to be worried about any disease. It's a demon. Their immune system's probably quite good, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah. Honestly, like...
Anyways.
The strength and the...
Agility?
Yeah, and, like, me just not having to do a single thing but just enjoy the ride.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Fuck it yeah. up.
No effort.
I just got to hold on. And then I'm just getting thrown up and down.
As you do that, you stare deeply into his eyes. Oh, no way, he doesn't have any. They're thorns.
Lenora, let's ramen noodles cuddle after sex. And I'm personally already on board with this whole relationship and or future. Sign the contract. I'm there. We get some inner monologue from ramen noodles about their role among the bargainer demons, which is obviously hinting at the other books in the series. So well done, Katie Robert. Mid-cuddle, Lenora asks about how time works differently in the demon realm, aka like 7 years in the demon realm is not 7 years in the human realm. Yeah, kind of. That makes Lenora worry about what ramen noodles is missing back home while they help her. And Lenora is like, well, we better get moving. But Ramenu has this moment. Lenora, I don't know why I say her name like that. Dark and full of promise. I've decided I want her for keeping, but there's no reason to signal that ahead of time. She's not the type to run, but I wouldn't put it past her to try and slit my throat. The thought makes me smile.
I love it.
And why is it so hot? Anyways, don't look too deeply at that. Anyways, the thought of this being a temporary arrangement does not sit well with our demon. Then Lenora is in the shower trying to act like that bang has not made her question everything. Either way, she simply does not have time for this. You may be wondering how she can walk after such a vigorous physical activity, and well, she is limping. But turns out that this is where we learn about this highly convenient balm that the witches make and give to bargainer demons that helps heal the vag after such activities. Cough, cough, like taking two dragon dicks. But anyways, Ramenu offers to help apply the cream. Thank you, Ramenu. And while Ramenu is finger deep in her, they say that they could play with her forever. But again, we are a woman on a mission, so we do not have time for this. Instead, Lenora asks about the whole double horn situation. And we learn that this is because Ramenu's parents are a gargoyle and a bargainer demon, so they get to look super spesh.
I'm glad that she asked about the horns and not the eyes.
Well, that's where the second horns are in the eyes.
Where are... It would be...
What's it going to be like, where are your eyeballs? Yes. Are they under
would
the
be
horns
really
if
rude.
I rip the horns
My
off?
Questions can would be... Can you see? Are you blind? Do you follow, what's it called? Braille.
Braille?
Do you use Braille? What colour am I right now? Can you see my boobs? It creeps me out that you have horns coming out of your eye socket.
Ellie!
Can I cut out a picture of an eye and stick it on your horn?
Just like magazine,
two different eyes.
Eye colours and two different sizes.
Anything is better than what we currently have, okay?
Okay. It is at this moment as well that Ramen Noodles also drops the truth bomb that one of Lenora's ancestors fucked a celestial, whatever that means.
Skim cool. right over that.
I like that for them. Anyway, it's time for the plan to begin, and Ramen Noodles thinks that the plan is seriously lacking. Again, it is a novella, Ramen, get with the program. Jax is going to try to grab the amulet off of Kristoff while Sven isn't looking, and then Lenora will kill him, but again, it's a bit of a lackluster plan. The mood darkens as Lenora thinks of how everyone in her life is building their lives and settling down and, you know, having families and children and finding happiness, but everyone she tries to love tries to change her. And that's kind of sad. Ramenu is so moved by how sad she is that they offer to help get the amulet back without the whole bargain of 7 years on the table. Literally like one moment of this hardened demon looking at sad Lenora and they're ready to risk it
Fuck
all.
Fuck yeah, I love that.
The quote we get is, I want to bathe her in sunny yellow and deep ocean blue to keep her happy and content always.
Oh, I love them.
How does he know what colours are without having eyes?
Again, I will accept nothing less.
Auras.
It's the emotion vision.
The auras, Ellie. Have you not been paying attention?
And I disagree.
We also get some random backstory on Azazel, okay, like bargainer demon king, and his own match with Eve and how well that is not going. So Ramen Noodles is just a love-struck puppy for Lenora at this stage, and it's cute. Even though Ellie hates it, it's cute, and yes, they are so tuned that when she subconsciously moves closer to them, they notice, and I love it. But then we meet Kristoff, and Sven is nowhere in sight, and I'm actually very sad about that turn of events. And Ramenu is like, yeah, I was going to fucking kill you, but now it's going to be slow.
That's hot.
Ramen Noodles is like, well, we better distract your dickhead ex so Jax can steal the amulet. And we get two more reasons why I love this duo. Reason one, Lenora laughed. You sure you're not just trying to get back in my pants? I would like to live in your pants. I keep talking before she can do more than make a choked sound. But while I'm not opposed to an audience, I hardly think this is the situation to indulge.
King Charles is all I'm going to say.
Oh, why would you bring up King Charles?
Just wants to live inside.
It's not a... Okay, reason two, the quote we get is, you can let go with me, I'll keep you safe. Then who will keep you safe? Goddess, but I like this witch. I smile. You, of course. Who else? I love it. Say less.
Love it.
Ramanu lifts her up. Again, they are about to that booty, so it's by the ass cheeks. And they pin her to a wall so they can tonsil tango. Again, Ramanu is making the sales pitch for bargainer demons everywhere with, I'll bathe the room with their blood if they think to so much as touch her without permission.
Smash. Can I just say, when bargainer demons, it kind of sounds like a discount carpet shop. I don't know why.
It's a bargain.
And you get picked up by your ass cheeks and you get to be, you get to peg them.
Yeah. What's not to like here? Don't say the lack of eye, Billy.
Hold your tongue.
The claw feet as well, okay? Let's not forget about that. That's equally as disturbing.
Fair. I realise I just disassociate from feet, and it may or may not be because I grew up playing with Bratz dolls, but you could just take feet off.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, it's not a factor.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yes.
They then finger bang while Christoph walks over, and they literally don't stop while he tries to talk to her. I cannot. And when Ramanu shoves their instincts down so that they can stick to Leonora's plan, it's just beautiful. Jax, unfortunately, fails to steal the amulet from Christoph, and so they sit down to discuss their options with someone called Sky. Ramanu is, like, possessively draping their arm over Leonora in the chair, and I'm obsessed. I love that. Leonora is forced to consider her last alternative to get the amulet back. The tournament, aka a deathmatch magic battle. We learnt that Leonora previously broke Sky's spine in a match. And while Leonora is scared that this will turn Ramanu off, she obviously forgets that Ramanu is a demon. And Ramanu is just like, fuck, you are so hot. Ramanu offers to enter the tournament for Leonora without asking for anything in return, but she won't allow it because she's being a bit silly. Instead, she allows them to distract her until it's time for the match. Ramanu is worried about how Lenora's desperation is dangerous for her, especially when we learn that all of her like family magic is tied to that amulet and it's fading, so she could like lose it completely at any moment. But they are distracted with the power of witchy pussy, which is also fair. Yeah. Ramanu offers to let Leonora peg them, but only after they are allowed to care for her for this short amount of time. They then wash her hair and give her a full body massage. And again, give me the contract, I will sign.
Say less. I'm already signed. I'm already like 4 years into the 7 years.
Full body deep tissue massage.
With a peg? Fuck it up.
With a peg?
Well, we kick off where we left off, where Ramen Noodles is trying to change Lenora's mind about doing this all on her own. Lenora's like, babe, it isn't going to work. And Leonora tells Ramen Noodles about her great pegging skills, which is, were you serious about the pegging? They smile against my thumb. I'm always serious about pegging. You've taken care of me. Let me take care of you right back. I have a wicked strap-on spell that I think you'll like. They burst out laughing. Of course you do. So this leads to Leonora saying, like, no, this means nothing, but bend over and let me stick this magical dildo up your bottom. On your back.
Oh. Wow.
We continue on. Hold your knees for me. After adding a little bit more lube, I fuck them slowly. It takes a few strokes to get the rhythm down, but Ramanu is so responsive, I don't have to guess what they like. I drip lube over their cock and press it to their stomach with the heel of my hand.
It's like they're getting into the brace position, which they are bracing for.
Well, they are. They're bracing
for impact.
Gay gasp.
Literally. Ramanu finishes and then they just are like, all right, ready to go. And I'm going to fuck you, Leonora. And they do so slow and hard. So that's good.
But they still have cum all over them and they didn't clean
it. Yes. It's a messy, messy, messy time.
Again, there's a lot of fluid.
And again, look, at that time, I'm not thinking about that because really, you've just pegged a demon in the ass. So I'm like,
oh. There's bigger problems in circumstances.
I'm riding the high of just the dominance, you know? I'm like, fuck, I am the fucking king.
You know what I've done today?
I'm king of the world. Move over, Jack. Can you imagine you go to work, someone tries to performance manage you and you're like, you can't say shit to me.
I have pegged a demon in the ass.
Is there any other way you can peg?
No, I think it is
I don't know. Is that called docking? Yeah, that's called docking.
Took me a minute to catch on what you were on there. You're just giving me a sex ed lesson, listeners. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is pegging. This is also sex. This is also anal. And this is docking. And this is scissoring.
Thank you.
Sex ed for children.
There you go.
A fist.
You were never coming around my children again.
What do you mean? I'm teaching them things.
Fisting. If you are ever going to get fucked by a demon, you need to make sure you're really, really lubed and really ready, okay? Start off with oil. One finger, then two, and then you work your way up to the whole forearm.
No.
I'm so sorry. Anyway. So in the post-climax bliss, they discuss pronouns. I didn't say this earlier, but thank you for asking about terminology during our negotiation. She smiles against my skin. Of course, like I said, I'm deeply invested in you having a good time. And the last thing I want is to misgender you. That horrible warm feeling in my chest just gets stronger. I pull her close. I prefer they, them, but honestly, I don't mind the other pronouns in the right context. My gender is, I can't help grinning a bit. Let's call it a coat of many colours. It shifts depending on the day and my mood and the circumstances. Which I'm pretty sure is like a biblical reference. And they just like make like this whole joke about biblical. They continue discussing how Ramanu doesn't want her to fight. They see that her power is dwindling, so Ramanu is like, bind me, bitch. Not like BDSM bind me, but also kind of like that. After some convincing, she does this, and Ramanu ends up, they go to the tournament, right? This is the tournament of them getting the amulet back, and there's like fighting against other people, and then Ramanu gets put up in Lenora's place against initially this person called Charlie. Is another demon. And they impale this person on their horns. And it's hot. Like, I'm like, yes, fight for me.
Fight for my honor.
And then it's time for Ramanu to fight Christoph. Lenora is like low-key freaking out that Ramanu was okay with the binding, but we don't have time for your thoughts, Lenora. Shut up.
Again, because going into this fight, Ramanu is kind of giving me, like, if you thought of demon bodies, he's like a Timothy Charlemagne being.
Yeah.
Like, he's not shredded and ready for stereos. But
wow, does that even happen anymore?
No, but memory unlocked. Yeah. So she's worried because, like, they are stepping into the ring. And Christoph, you know, he's built like a large Scandinavian man with a reindeer could spend.
Yeah.
So, you know, proportionately, she's a bit worried. And then it turns out that they can run, like Dash from The Incredibles.
Well, we get this quote. Ramanu kicks again, and this time the shield disintegrates. The blow takes Christoph in the leg, sending him down to one knee. They don't hesitate. If anything, their speed increases. I don't even see the strike. 1 minute, Christoph is scrambling for a spell, and the next, my ex's head bounces across the ring. Holy shit. Ramanu beheaded him in a single strike. And then we get my favorite bit, which is Ramanu then picks up the amulet from Christoph's severed head and body, and is like, here you go, babe. Heard you wanted this. This is a declaration of my love. Say less.
That is just gift giving as a love language on a whole different level.
And our girl is just like totally swooning and is like, Ramanu, 7 years, let's go, you big non-binary hoe. And they decide that she'll keep Ramanu bound during the 7 years. So basically what's going to happen, she's like, 7 years, take me. Ramanu's like, oh, look, I'm not too, like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah. And Ramanu's like, I know what we'll do. You keep me bound during the 7 years so that we're on equal ground. And so they draw up a contract. And like Ramanu pulls a pen out of somewhere, and obviously I'm back thinking about the pegging and him getting a pen out of his ass.
This makes complete sense that there would be a pen up his ass. A pen is quite
small. Yeah, I mean, they've just been pegged by a giant fucking magical strap-on dildo
that she also grew while it was inside.
Yeah, that's the magic part.
She shrunk it to get it in, and then
it took four. Expenditures.
Well, I don't know what the word is, but it's not that.
Expand a jar. Anyway, they sign the contracts and they go to Ramanu's world. And that's how, like, the story ends. But then we get two epilogues.
I think this is, like, a special version. I think there was a version where it didn't have these.
Yeah, I read the Kindle version and I got one epilogue.
One epilogue.
Well, buckle in, Ellie. First epilogue, our girl wakes up in bed with Ramanu. They're like, come on, sugar, it's time to stretch those legs. Our girl wants a demon binding mark. She wants Ramanu
Forever, spelt number four, EVA.
Also for context, it's been the 7 years.
Yes. But basically, they're binding tattoo marks. Ramanu has Lenora forever, and she has Ramanu ramen noodles forever.
She's got a picture of a cup of ramen.
A pack of ramen.
Yeah, and that's brilliant, great, happy days. We find out that Ramanu was terrified of her grandmother and her odd fascination with them. So that's good.
So really, her grandma was just coming on way too strong. And the demon was like, I'm a demon and that's
it. Show me your grandbaby. You're scaring me. So basically, Ramanu gets the okay for our lovely Lenora to come back to the demon realm whenever she wants to be with Ramanu. So that's great. Happy days. A lovely little bow on their ending story. But then we get a second epilogue, right? And this epilogue is called An Erotic Show. So buckle in the girls' gays and nays. Ramanu takes our girl to a show. It's the above-mentioned erotic show, in fact. There is a wee human on the stage. Initially, she thinks that it's a ballet show, right? She's dancing, this girl, but she's in, like, pretty raunchy clothing, really. And then all of a sudden, a giant minotaur, dressed only in a loincloth, appears on the stage. Obviously, the minotaur catches this wee little human, and she, like, acts all shy, but she's also, like, teasing him. So she's like, oh, no, don't touch me, but look at my ass. And he just, like, grabs her and just feasts on her pussy. And our girl is, like, so flustered watching this that she's like, all right, well, like, Ramanu, we need to fuck while they fuck. It only makes sense. No, and Ramanu obviously obliges this, you know? And when the minotaur's puny loincloth drops, our girl goes slack jaw over his humongo schlong. So they start having sex on stage. Ramanu and our girl start having sex on stage. And our girl decides that she wants to chase Ramanu through a maze and have her way with them. And where Ramanu the really likes from? That idea.
FYI, the erotic show was meant to be referencing the myth of the Minotaur with the maze.
I just was like, yeah. They're dancing and they're fucking. The act is over. And when the next act appears, we get the ending quote for the book, which is, is that a kraken? And yes. Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is. No. But yeah, anyway, big lols.
This has left me deeply disturbed. I need to go take a shower.
Well, do you have a music reference?
No. Actually, I was going to say Tribute by Tenacious D because it has a demon in it.
I was going to say The Devil is a Gentleman. For fan art, I just have the cover artist, which is A-I-Z-E-L Con Art. And they've done the artwork for this whole series where it's, again, it's kind of that Milzen Booney, very painterly, gorgeous artwork. Like, regardless of how uncomfortable Ellie is, the artwork itself is
like
gorgeous.
Stunning.
Yeah, I love it. I just realised we forgot to mention the fact that in these books, Katie Robert does content notes. And they are so fucking funny because she does, like, tropes. Demon deals, forced proximity, tags, NB demon, murderous witch, demon deals, forced proximity, only one bed, magical pegging, beheading as a love language, all my exes are in love and I'm sad, sexy but sweet, Chekhov's loop.
I love it. So, next week we are covering yet another Pride Month book. It is the last book that we're covering before we go on break, so be prepared for that. You're not going to see us for a few weeks, but it is the one, the only, Red, White, and Royal Blue. And let me just fucking tell you, if I knew that this book was so fucking good, it would never have sat on my shelf for so long unread. Like, I know people told me it was good, but I don't listen to people, okay? I don't. I listen to myself. And my body and soul was telling me, you know, maybe. But, like, so good. So good. So get ready for that because I'm gushing from it still. And not like, well, yeah, I guess gushing, sure. But, like, also just gushing, telling people about it all the time. But gushing is the other way as well.
You're a very moist person, just genuinely.
I am. Anyways, that's us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.